We're ready to get into God's Word. If you want to follow this message in your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and you'll find message notes and discussion questions and some going deeper suggestions as well online on the church website and the Bayside Church app. I want to continue our series on Jesus' Way, and last weekend we looked at part 2, Messiah's Banquet, and we did a deep dive into Jesus' parable in Luke chapter 14. If you missed that message, I encourage you to either watch it or listen to the podcast on the church website or app. Today's message is called Smashed Apartheid. Now, I pronounce it in that way because we have a lot of Afrikaans people at Bayside Church, and I check with them. Apartheid is an Afrikaans word, and apparently you pronounce the D as a T. So that's what I'm told. I'm always used to saying apartheid, but I will try and do my very best Afrikaans for all of our South African viewers of Bayside Church online. When we hear the word apartheid, we think, of course, of South Africa. But apartheid refers to any system where people are clearly divided because of unchosen personal characteristics. It might be their race, their ethnicity, it might be their gender or other factors that are unchosen. Apartheid then believes that one group is superior to another group, and on the basis of that, it permits group one to then mistreat group two because they're considered inferior. Numerous examples of this, of course, throughout history. The slave trade, the African slave trade springs to mind. 400 years, about 11 million people trafficked. And a lot of the church and many ministers cheered that on. They supported slavery based on an interpretation from the book of Genesis about Ham. Ham was one of Noah's sons. You may remember if you read some of the early chapters of Genesis. And after the flood, Ham was inappropriate toward his dad. And as a result of that, the Bible says that Noah cursed the descendants of Ham. So Canaan and the descendants. Now, Ham's descendants are believed to have inhabited nations of Africa. And so on the basis of that Bible verse that says that Canaan, the descendants of Ham, would be the lowest of slaves, shall he be to his brothers. And on the basis of that verse, it was viewed that the African races were cursed, that they were inferior, and that it was right to enslave them. And so for 400 years, the white people enslaved, apartheid ruled with the African slave trade. Sadly, slavery is still alive and well in our world today. Women and children are particularly the victims. Probably about 90% of people in slavery today are women and children, viewed as inferior by the slave traders. And this is the second highest illegal trade with regard to money earned. The only illegal trade that overwhelms the slave trade is the drug trade. So focusing on South Africa for a moment, for many years, as you are aware, for decades, white people were considered themselves superior to blacks. This was then entrenched in a policy called apartheid in 1948, which finally crumbled between the years of 1990 and 1994. And I want to acknowledge our South African members at Bayside Church. Some of you were brought up during those years and you saw that in action. My first time to South Africa was in the year 2000. And so that's 6 years after apartheid finished. And yet it was still alive and well. You could see it. The white people were in charge and the black people were serving. And that has started to change over the last couple of decades, but still South Africa has a long way to go. And so with that background in mind, as we continue to explore Jesus' way in this series, we see that Jesus was very interested in tearing down the barriers that keep people apart. He was very keen to smash apartheid, and we will see that in our text in Ephesians chapter 2, And we'll read from verse 11. And this is written to a local church and a church predominantly made up of Gentiles. There would have been some Jews there, but predominantly Gentiles. And that's important that we understand. So let's have a look at our text. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done by the body, in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Paul is writing this to show the Christians at Ephesus and to show us as well, Jews and Gentiles, that Jesus has smashed apartheid. You see, the Jewish races of the first century, or Jewish race, considered themselves as superior to all other races, which were kind of lumped together under this one umbrella called the Gentiles. For an example of that, a Jewish man's morning prayer, he would say this blessing, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has created me a human and not a beast, a man and not a woman, an Israelite and not a Gentile, circumcised and not uncircumcised, free and not slave." There's a lot of pride in that. Thank you so much. I'm not a Gentile. I'm not a woman. I'm not a slave. That was Jewish superiority. And according to Paul, in the verses that we just read in Ephesians chapter 2, Gentiles were called the uncircumcised by Jews. This was a derogatory term. They would talk about uncircumcised Gentile dogs. You can't say that as a compliment in any shape or form. Gentiles were separate from Christ. Gentiles were excluded from citizenship in Israel. They were foreigners to the covenant of promise, and they were without hope and without God in the world. But it's all changed. Look at verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away, the Gentiles, have been brought near, just like the Jews, by the blood of Christ." In other words, Jesus has smashed apartheid. Let's read on in Ephesians 2. "Jesus has made the two groups, Jews and Gentiles, one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." I'll touch on that a bit more in just a moment. "By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two." So a new humanity, Jew and Gentile, brought together in a new humanity known as the church, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. "He came and preached peace to those of you who are far away," that's the Gentiles, "and peace to those of you who are near," the Jews. "For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Let's go back to that statement that Jesus destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. What Paul is talking about here is the barriers, the walls of hostility that existed in the temple, but also in the minds of the Jewish race. Paul is referring quite likely to the walls and the curtain or the veil in the Jewish temple that divided people and kept certain people out. So in the Jewish temple of the day, there was a square courtyard for Jewish women that was in the west. And then the main courtyard for the Jewish men was in the east. Men and women were separated. There were dividing walls. Gentiles were not allowed inside the temple on pain of death. They were far away. They were kept out, whereas the Jews were near. They were allowed in. The holy place was for the priests and all men. And then there was the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies could only be accessed once a year by the high priest, annually on the Day of Atonement. The high priest had to make meticulous preparations He had to wash himself, put on special clothing. He had to burn incense so that the smoke would cloud his vision from a direct gaze of God, and then bring the blood of an unblemished goat to make atonement for the sins of the people. Aren't you glad we're under a better covenant? We don't have to do all of these things anymore, all because of Jesus. And then there was a large curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Now, this is not like one of the drapes that you may have hanging in your window at home. This curtain was massive. It was actually woven and sewn together, and it made up of 72 different squares. The curtain was 20 metres high. If you think about it, the average ceiling height in Australia in a house is 2.4 metres. So this curtain in the temple was almost 10 times higher than the ceiling in your house. This thing's massive. It was 10 metres wide and it was 10 centimetres thick. This is huge. So this massive curtain that separated, this wall of division that was saying, keep out. Now, something miraculous happened when Jesus died on the cross. Matthew tells us about this in his gospel. Matthew 27, 51. At the moment of Jesus' death, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Wow. What kind of strength, what kind of power was needed to tear a curtain that was 20 metres high, 10 metres wide and 10 centimetres thick? It used to take 300 men just to carry this curtain and to hang it in its place. And yet this was torn from top to bottom. And I love that Matthew notes that, because it wasn't torn from the bottom up like it was a something that people did, but it was from top to bottom, demonstrating that this was a divine act. The divine power of God ripped this curtain in two from top to bottom. Jesus destroyed the barrier by his death on the cross. He got rid of the dividing wall of hostility. Through Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, now have access to the Father by one Spirit. Jesus smashed apartheid. Let's read on in Ephesians chapter 2. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. See how things have changed through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. If we go back and I'll just let you or remind you of the position of the Gentiles before the cross. Gentiles were called the uncircumcised. They were spoken down about by the Jews. They were referred to in derogatory terms. They were separated from Christ. They were excluded from citizenship in Israel. They just didn't belong. They were foreigners from the covenants of promise, and they were without hope and without God in the world. And then Jesus died on the cross and the veil was ripped from top to bottom. Suddenly the outsiders have been brought in. The outsiders are now citizens. They're members of God's household, and we rise together to become a holy temple in the Lord. Paul wrote this to the Ephesian church, a local church. This is relevant to every local church. This is relevant to us at Bayside Church. You, me, we are being built together to become a dwelling of which or in which God lives by his Spirit. What an incredible truth. We're all being built together so that God can live in us. You see, a church is not just something you attend or watch. It's a community of faith that is being built together. It's a group of people that you belong to. It's a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And there are no dividing walls. Jesus has smashed apartheid. Paul repeated this theme in his other letters, and we'll look at a couple of other scriptures before I start to wrap this up. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11. Paul says, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. This is a stunning verse. It's talking all about human divisions. He's saying, in Jesus Christ, there are no human divisions. There's no Jew, Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised. Barbarians, by the way, were non-Greeks. So the same pride that existed in Jews over Gentiles also existed of Greeks and non-Greeks. We are the Greek people, and all other people are simply barbarians. Once again, human divisions, apartheid. The Scythians were the most barbaric and cruel anti-Greek people. And what he's saying here, what Paul is saying here, that in Jesus, there are no human divisions, but Christ is all and is in all. That's a staggering statement, church. Christ is in all. In all what? In all people. Just think about that for a moment. Because we still divide us and them. But Jesus is in all. Let that truth invade your mind and your spirit. Every time you look at another person, Jesus is in that person. Every person you ever lock eyes with is made in the image of God. So important that we understand that. Every us-them division across the human spectrum came down in Jesus' body on the cross. Jesus smashed apartheid. Let's think about this for a moment. Every time we erect an us-them wall, we're working against the cross. Every time we rehang the holy drapes, we're working against the cross. Every time we rebuild religious walls, we're working against the cross. Paul wrote, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. When Christians resist Christ's ministry of reconciliation by counting sins, we're working against the cross. The word counting there, by the way, in the original Greek means to take an inventory of or a catalogue of people's sins. Sadly, so often we as followers of Jesus are known as people who count other people's sins. We're keeping an inventory of other people's sins and we're judging as a result. God doesn't do that in Christ. Neither should God's people. Toward the end of 2021, we launched an inclusion statement as a church, which really just ties all of this together from Ephesians 2. You can find the whole statement on the church website, but here's one paragraph from it. At Bayside Church, we believe that every person is created in God's image. All are equally worthy of respect, dignity, and love, regardless of gender, sexuality, age, ability, race, or ethnicity. What a stunning statement that is. That's the gospel. That's the kind of community that Jesus came to build. That's what Jesus died for. You who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. As I wrap this up, I want to give you two practical applications from this message, two ways that you can be a doer of the word. The first thing is the fact that Jesus has smashed apartheid means that the church is made up of a vast variety of people. Have you noticed? We're all radically different, aren't we? We all come in various shapes and sizes. We're all from different cultures and convictions, different races, different ethnicities. The fact is that most of us would never meet each other or get to know each other if it wasn't for Jesus. Sometimes I hear people talk about this as a negative. It's like, you know, well, that person's like this and why are they so different and they're not like me. Praise God they're not like you. Praise God that they are themselves. What if we differ? What do you mean if? The word should be when we differ. When we differ, maturity will put love ahead of difference. Our unity from first to last is always found in our mutual love for Jesus and his love for us. Praise God that not everybody is the same in the church. Can you imagine if the entire church was like Rob Buckingham? I mean, you know, we all think that this world would be a perfect place if everyone was just like us, right? It'd be awful. It'd be dreadful. If everyone was like Rob, everyone would want to preach every weekend. Everyone would want to be in charge, would want to lead. It would be chaos. It'd be awful. Praise God that we are all different. You see, in the church, we strive for unity, not uniformity. God is not interested in a bunch of cookie-cutter Christians. There's another one, there's another one, there's another one, and they're all the same. What a boring life that would be. No, we want unity, not uniformity, and we want harmony, which is where all different notes are played together, but when they're played together at the same time, they sound beautiful. The fact that Jesus has smashed apartheid means that the church is made up of a vast variety of people. And rather than seeing that as a negative, let's celebrate this truth. And let's realize, yes, because we're all different, then arguments will happen. We'll see things in a different way and all of that. But let's have discussions, but let's keep our eyes firmly fixed on the person of Jesus. And secondly and finally, the fact that Jesus has smashed apartheid means that we will commit ourselves to love one another. That's what John talked about in his first epistle. He has given us this command, church: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. And so we commit to getting to know others within our church community. Don't try and get to know everybody. Bayside Church has got hundreds of people a part of it. Be realistic. When people are new, include them. Invite others to join you online. Our hosts will make it easy for you to connect with each other. Join an online connect group. There's so many different ways that you can connect in community with one another, whether you live near or far from the physical building that we call Bayside Church, the meeting place. We commit to doing life with people, a small group of people in our church community. Let us love one another because he has loved us, and that is Jesus' way. Heavenly Father, I pray that this word will ring true in the hearts and minds of every hearer. And help us, God, to be doers of your word and not just hearers, that we might be blessed and be a blessing to others. I hope in the message today that you realize that nobody needs to be far away from God because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done through his life, death, and resurrection, everybody has been brought near. And if we can help you on your journey of following Jesus, we would love to be able to do that. All you have to do is just click on the link that the hosts are putting in the chat feed right now, or if you're watching this on YouTube, in the body of the notes, you'll find a link there. Click on that, and that'll connect you with us, and we will post to you a Bible and some information that will help you become a follower of Jesus Christ and enjoy this wonderful, wonderful life that Jesus came to bring you.